L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Building for the future. Let's talk to the pros. What's up, everybody? It's me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and welcome to Fantasy Pros, the home of fantasy sports. It is me, it is Mike Tagliere, it's Kyle Yates, and it's you. And today is Dynasty Mock Draft Day. That's right. For those of you who are finally thinking about taking the plunge into Dynasty for that first time, this is going to be a perfect show for you. Or if you're just going to go for another Dynasty League because you just can't get enough, well, this is going to be the show for you also.
Today, we're going to be using our Draft Wizards multi-user draft tool. While this tool isn't available yet, anyone can go ahead and perform a quick, fun, and realistic Dynasty mock draft for free using our draft simulator at fantasypros.com/simulator.
We're going to be taking you through a 20-plus round mock draft for Dynasty, which is going to be absolutely fun, absolutely spectacular, and kind of get everybody's draft juices flowing. And of course, if you want to watch this and see the draft board unfold live before your eyes, make sure you go to fantasypros.com. And of course, you can go to wherever else. Oh, I know, the YouTube channel. That's right, the YouTube channel Fantasy Pros is where you can subscribe and click and get those notifications. And then, boom, you can watch this episode just like that, which is pretty easy. Now, Tags, take us through the setup for today, because I know everybody's chomping at the bit to get started here. I know I'm excited, Yates is excited. So what exactly are we doing today for this Dynasty mock?
I mean, well, Dynasty's getting bigger and bigger, guys, and there's a lot of people doing startup Dynasty drafts right now, and they really just don't know how to value these players. So we decided to put together this startup mock draft show. This is going to be 25 rounds, so it's pretty deep. I mean, some Dynasty leagues, you'll go as deep as like 35 deep, but 25 rounds today, we're not doing any kickers or defense, so it's going to be all skill position players. We're going to do starting positions are one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receiver, one tight end, two flex spots, and then 16 bench. So basically, you're going to see how we build our Dynasty rosters, and then understanding as we go throughout the draft what your roster is. Are you competing now? What you need, because you need a good balanced roster. And we're going to talk through that as we go through the draft today. And all of us are going to be randomized in the draft, figuring out what draft slots we have.
I love being randomized. It's one of my favorite things to be. And I will say this too, for me, you know, with Dynasty, whether it be baseball, football, whatever, I'm always trying to win in like a 3-year window. I want to be good for like 3 years. I think if you look too far ahead, then you're always spinning your wheels. If you're trying to get, you know, too many players that are just win now, you might not be so good in terms of injury. Now, we might be at a disadvantage here because we've got Mr. Dynasty Football himself, Mr. Yates here, the host of the Dynasty Football podcast here at Fantasy Pros, which you should also be subscribing to because him and Ray do fantastic work. So, Yates, do you feel confident going into this draft? Because I feel like you should be, because you've been doing all this work every week, all the Dynasty chatter you could possibly imagine. So I feel like it's kind of up to you to get the highest grade in this mock.
Oh, yeah, the pressure is definitely on. But yet, at the same time, it's going to be interesting because Ray and I, of course, Ray Garvin, my co-host on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football podcast, we did a startup mock draft here just recently. And I came through that draft and was like, man, I hate my team at the end of this, because that was my first like mock draft of the season, right? Like my first startup mock draft. So I've got that at least under my belt where I kind of have an idea of where these guys are going to go. But no, this is going to be a ton of fun. Happy to draft with you guys. And of course, My objective is just beating tags. As long as I can beat tags.
Oh, wait, what happened here? You guys were smack talking before the show. Oh. You said you were going to beat Joey P, and all of a sudden,
I got to change it up. I got to keep you on your toes, tags.
I liked being the one that was kind of like left out of this battle of the show and just going to have a good draft.
Oh, you know, honestly, I want to be both of you guys just because I'm the one covering like 500 baseball players right now and doing football as
well.
Yeah,
that's true. Tags, if we lose to Joe, we're done. Yeah. We're done.
I mean, if you lose to me in this mock right now, I mean, you mean your whole expert tags and things like that, you might have to throw that back into the pool. You might not be allowed to call yourself that anymore. But we shall see here. And I do. I love Dynasty football. Like I said, the one Dynasty league that I'm in is also IDP. And it's all the football diehards guys like Bob Harris. This is what happens when you work at Fantasy Pros. Every Harris becomes Dan Harris. No, it's Bob Harris and Mike Dempsey and all those great folks like John Lobb, all these, you know, fun football folks. And that is a very, very challenging league. It is 16 and 16. So it's 32. So you have the double players, of course, which is a little confusing. But, you know, if I could have all the shares of, you know, Tom Brady, I would. Everybody knows that. But and I digress. So before we get kicking off here with things, and once again, if you want to watch this, go to the YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros, so you can see the draft board and follow along with us. But I want to remind everybody, we just have a few hours left to get involved in that giveaway. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. Go to fantasypros.com/contest, and you can win a Lamar Jackson autographed jersey. That is some cool swag right there. And all you got to do is leave a nice review. 5 stars. Mike Tagliere. I love his hats. Kyle Yates, I can't get enough of his glasses. Joe Pizzapia, he is such a wordsmith. It's so fun to listen to the show. That's all you got to do. You drop that. You go back to fantasypros.com/contest. You upload the screenshot of that incredible review. And I want that word for word, just so you know. And then you are entered to win this free Lamar Jackson jersey. Autographed what? I mean, come on. Pristine Auction. Thanks to our friends there. They do some fantastic work. And actually, somebody tweeted me today that they won a cool gift for their daughter, an autographed Charlotte Flair plaque, which is awesome. So all my wrestling people out there, see, I told you, they got everything. So go ahead to pristineauction.com. All right, now let's set things up.
Hold on, really quick, tags. Okay. Yep. I love how he called himself a wordsmith and then dropped a ya-boom.
Ya-boom. Ya-boom. That's about right. That's about right. Not everybody can do that. Look, that's what makes me a wordsmith. I can use very large, you know, vocabulary words at times, and I can also use street slang. I'm a man of the people. I like to float all over the place. I am from Brooklyn, but I did go to Oxford. That's right. So there you go. I'm all worlds, Yates. I'm all worlds.
Hey, well, so ya boom, I'm going to press start draft. How about
that? You could do that. I want to take you through the team names too. So Mike Tagliere is now Kalen Ballage, no matter what. That is his team name. I am Return of the Mac Jones, little 90s hip hop for you there. And of course, Yates is the Pearly Yates, which he will not get into should he lose this mock to Tags and myself. So let's see the draft order and where we're at right now. It is calculating. And I love this. You get the little dots rolling here. Your draft is loading. Your draft is loading. So we are going to see where we're at, who is in what spot. So Team 1, Team 2 is the Pearly Yates. Team 3 is Return of the Mac Jones. Then we got 4-5. Then, of course, Tags is going to be at number 6 and the rest of the computer cyborgs drafting along with us. So, Yates, you feel pretty good about this number 2 pick?
I do, because it means that I get a really good player, but yet it's a tough decision here at the top, which I'm now on the clock. Christian McCaffrey went number 1 overall. So here at the 102, I've got guys like Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara that are all staring me in the face, but yet Saquon comes with injury concerns. Jonathan Taylor, is this really the spot that I want to take him? Dalvin Cook is a safe bet. You know, he's going to get a ton of work. Alvin Kamara, how does Taysom Hill factor into all this? So there's a ton going into this decision here, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go a little bit younger here. He's only 22 years old. I am going to go with the Indianapolis Colts running back, Jonathan Taylor. Ooh. He was my RB1 coming out last year. Really, really love his talent and what he can do. And he showed that when he gets the workload, he can absolutely just hit. And if Carson Wentz can take this offense to another level with reunited with Frank Reich, the sky's the limit for JT. So JT here at the 102, right behind Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, like, I can't argue with that. I mean, you just can't. It's the, you know, second year in the league only. And you bring up great points. I mean, this is the tough part. I mean, all these guys at the top now, everybody's coming off injuries. I think I'm going to roll the dice here. you know, with one of these two running backs, with Dalvin Cook or Saquon Barkley. I could go safe and go Devontae Adams here just to piss tags off, and that would be a fun way to start the draft. But you know what? I feel like I'm going to try to make this work here. And maybe it's just a rough start to the career of Saquon Barkley, and everything's going to be clear sailing. Dalvin Cook has had his share of injuries, too, and that is something we really got to focus on and understand. But I'm going to take a shot with Saquon because I do think he is a transcendent talent. I really do. And Dalvin Cook has had almost as many injury concerns over his career. So I'm going to go with Saquon, hope for the best, cross my fingers and see what happens. And maybe all of the worst is behind us. We shall see. So after that, it goes Dalvin Cook, Cam Akers going fifth overall. So Kalen Ballage, you're on the clock. And I can't believe I get to say Kalen Ballage, you're on the clock here. Yeah. That's going to be fantastic. Well,
he's taking him here at the 106. So can I just get to my pick next?
Yeah, it's Kalen Ballage one, right?
No, this is a tough one for me because like I'm in the middle of the draft, so I'm able to see trends. So if I don't get a pick at the top of the draft, being at number six, I kind of love it. Maybe even seven. Devontae Adams is staring at me here. I love Devontae Adams, but I'm also thinking about what running back is going to fall to me in the second round. I actually have to worry about that if I go with a wide receiver. Or I take Alvin Kamara here, who signed a four-year contract, if I'm not mistaken, with the Saints last year. So we have a running back under contract that's extremely talented. I don't think I can pass on Alvin Kamara, to be honest with you. I don't know what running backs are going to be there. I could be staring at, you know, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Mixon, and I don't want them to be my RB1 that's like a locked and loaded one. So as much as I want to pick Devontae Adams, I think I have to go Alvin Kamara here.
All right, Alvin Kamara here at six. So we'll go through 7, 8, 9 here in a moment for you. It's certainly good logic there. I can understand why. And then we have the wide receiver run. And it is a run, let me tell you. Because after that pick, we have, let's go through them here. They're still calculating, so I need them to freeze for a moment so I can read them. We have right afterwards, Devontae Adams going right after pick 7. So now Tags can second guess himself the entire rest of the hour. Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Derrick Henry going 11th. By the way, those workout videos for Derrick Henry are impressive. I know they're only workout videos, but still, I think he's like just a click behind Yates's workout videos. Hopkins, Elliott, Jefferson, Dobbins, Chubb, Kelsey, and Kittle. So back to you now, Tags. You are on the clock.
All right. I am happy to say, like, to see the number. I looked at my rankings. I have the number 13 overall player available for me here. He is a wide receiver 1. He is my wide receiver 5 in Dynasty, and that's Stephon Diggs. Very impressive what he did with Josh Allen the first year together. You know, he's still 27 years old. He's younger than Kenny Galladay. People don't know that. I have this guy locked up, and basically he's going to be a stud for another 5 years. So pairing him up with Alvin Kamara, I feel like my team is just extremely solid right now, and I have a stud at both positions.
Well, look, it's really hard to argue with that pick. It was incredible year one, and if that is the floor, I can't imagine what the ceiling is. Let's take a quick break from drafting to tell you about a sponsor of today's show, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. And Blue Chew is online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office or awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Plus, it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple, so sign up at BlueChew.com and consult with one of our licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. And the best part is, it's all done online. So Blue Chew's licensed medical providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. And you don't like swallowing pills? There's no problems here because it's chewable. So if you think you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code FANTASYPROS at checkout, paying just $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code FANTASYPROS to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. After that, we've got some more running backs going. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Josh Jacobs, and it's back to me, return of the Mac Jones. And I'm back. Now, DeAndre Swift is on the board. Aaron Jones on the board, too, which is really tempting because Jones just completely every year just seems to be undervalued. He's an RB1 every year, so there's certainly that aspect of it. We've got Michael Thomas and Calvin Ridley also on the board. I am such a Calvin Ridley mark. I kind of want to go here, but I feel like the software is going to yell at me a little bit if I do. But you know what? I really don't care. Yell at me all you want. I don't know how old Matt Ryan's going to be someday and can playing quarterback. But you know what? I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley here. I just want to take the safer pick. And I think there's going to be some running backs that make it back to me that I still like. That puts Yates now on the clock. So I'm fascinated to see. Are you going to make up for my mistake? Did I make a mistake not taking Aaron Jones or Swift?
I think you did. And I'm going to pull the trigger on one of those two guys here because, and I was definitely sweating, you know, as you were talking through it, I was like, please let this player fall. Please let this player fall. With Aaron Jones heading into free agency, we had the thought, well, he was going to end up somewhere else. Like I think all three of us were saying, like, he's not coming back to Green Bay. Well, now we know that he's back in Green Bay. And regardless of who, you know, the offense and what we want to say about his usage or whatever, he still just produces. He's still tied to Aaron Rodgers for at least one more season. So I'm going to go Aaron Jones here because I'm not scared of A.J. Dillon and the potential role that he's going to take on. Aaron Jones actually might even see a tick up as far as receiving. So I'm going to go Aaron Jones here, and I know that I'm coming back on the clock here in just a couple picks. So Aaron Jones to pair with Jonathan Taylor.
Well, there. I just want to say that I didn't talk about him because I didn't want someone to take him. The pick predictor said that there was a chance that Aaron Jones might fall back to me. So I didn't want to say anything about it. I legit contemplated Aaron Jones there going Kamara and Aaron Jones to start because, again, you have another running back that just signed a long-term deal. So you know you have a starter locked up for a while and a high-scoring offense that's continually outproducing expectations. But then I was like, what wide receiver would I be looking at in the third round? I'm always thinking ahead, but that's a fantastic pick.
All right, so Swift and CeeDee Lamb go right afterwards. Now it's back to Yates on the clock for some more.
Yeah, I think if looking at, and this is the benefit of being at least having at least one startup mock draft underneath my belt where I can say that looking, if you get past this spot, you start to get into rounds 4 and 5, running back dries up really quickly. So even though I started out my draft with Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones, I am going to go back to the running back position here and just shore this up and get some solid depth there. And Joe Mixon has experienced a fall here in dynasty startups. I really don't understand it. He's still only 24 years old. Has a long-term contract, you know, signed that long-term contract extension. They're going to invest in the offensive line here at some point this offseason, whether it's remaining through free agency or in the draft. Joe Burrow, like, this offense is trending upward and people are just bailing on Joe Mixon just because of the injury that he had last season. So I'll take advantage of the fall there and I'll take Joe Mixon here as my RB3.
I got to tell you, I had a lot of Joe Mixon shares last year in a lot of leagues, including the Flex Championship, where I was trying to defend my belt that you can see behind me there. But, you know, Mixon, unfortunately, just obviously the health just didn't go there. And look, you make a lot of good arguments to buy back in Mixon. And it's really hard in the third round not to want to be tempted there because it's a first round talent. I mean, if we did this draft last year, you know, like to the day, we would probably be what, like a low end one pick, probably something like that possibly. So, you know, there's incredible value there that Yates is talking about that you should pay attention to. The same thing with Michael Thomas too. I mean, Michael Thomas is still floating around here, and yeah, running back does kind of dry up, but I am tempted here in a third round to take a shot here at Michael Thomas. He's such an incredible talent. I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Some also other guys too out there too, like Patrick Mahomes there, you know, I like getting that quarterback too locked in. There's a part of me that likes to see that as well. And maybe you start to think about, well, if I take Mahomes here, but I think you can find some quarterbacks later. So many athletic quarterbacks. I think I'm going to do that and take a shot here at Michael Thomas and see what goes. So
take a shot with Michael Thomas.
Take a shot with Michael Thomas. It's an easy pick. Well, you know, it is and it isn't because now, you know, it's not Drew Brees anymore. Yeah, so it's not the easy pick that it used to be. If Drew Brees was back this year, I think it's a much easier pick for me to take. But now with the unknown in a dynasty format of who is it? Is it Taysom Hill? Is it Winston? Is it a cluster? It probably could be a cluster. And I don't know how that affects. It's an unknown. But in the third round, I'm willing to take the upside. So after that, Gibson and Mahomes go off the table. Kalen Ballage is on the clock.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. And as Yates said, running back will dry up. And Miles Sanders is someone that's been really good when given the opportunity. And unfortunately, he hasn't been given that workhorse opportunity under Doug Peterson. He did, though. It seemed like toward the end of the season, they started giving him more work with Jalen Hurts under center. But again, it's a new coaching staff. They haven't added another running back of significance. So I think Miles Sanders is the guy, you know, for at least 2 years in Philadelphia. So getting him here makes a whole lot of sense to me. So that's what I'm going to do. just to add to Alvin Kamara. So getting Miles Sanders as my RB2, I feel pretty confident about that. And we're at the point with wide receivers where it was almost like it was a tier of guys that I was okay, you know, getting any of them. And a lot of them just flew off the board, actually.
I was going to say, well, I'm glad you felt good about it, because after that, Terry McLaurin, Darren Waller, DJ Moore, Jamar Chase going here. So one of our early rookies, Austin Eckler, Godwin, Allen Robinson, Cooper, Najee Harris, who I was hoping would make it back to me, but obviously did not. So now I am sad. Tyler Lockett, T. Higgins, another one of our favorites here on the program, and James Robinson. So Tag, still some quality guys out there, especially wide receiver wise. Yeah. You still got Galladay, Evans, and Keenan Allen all on the board.
Yeah, T. Higgins was someone that I was hoping would fall to me here, but I'm not mad about Keenan Allen. So I was looking at my dynasty rankings here. I have T. Higgins at 11. I have Keenan Allen at 13 among wide receivers. So to have Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen, I have two bona fide studs. I have two running backs that are locked up for a couple years. I feel really strong. I feel good about this start. If I went back and if I could choose, like, you know, if I took Aaron Jones there, looking at the wide receivers, I probably would have ended up with Terry McLaurin as my wide receiver one, or DJ Moore, one of those two players, which isn't bad. But at the same time, I think I feel better about the start that I had with, you know, getting the two wide receivers, two running backs.
Continuing on here, after Tags makes his pick. Right after that, you did see,
Montgomery
and Mike Evans right after that. So look, you know, I mean, I know you still have some questions about David Montgomery, and rightfully so. And Mike Evans with the hamstrings, that's not a player I'm looking to invest in dynasty. So I'm actually very happy those two picks went off the board. I really wanted to come away here with another running back. So I'm going to go with another rookie, Travis Etienne. And I'm going to go that route there and try to fill that secondary RB spot. And hopefully he will grow into an RB1 eventually. It tells me there's a slight reach there, but you know what? It's dynasty, so I'm going to take this shot. Now, we don't know as we're recording this where he's going to end up, but my hope is he ends up in a good enough spot that they're going to use him. And maybe it's the back end of the first round or the beginning of the second. We shall see. So, Yates, you are now back on the board. I assume you're not taking another running back, but I don't want to make assumptions here because you've gone 3 in a row.
No, I'm not going to go another running back here. I'm going to look at the wide receiver and the wide receiver spot. And even though Kenny Galladay could have ended up in a better spot for fantasy football, he's still someone who I'm willing to invest in dynasty as that, like, wide receiver two, you know, high end wide receiver two. So to get him here at the back end of the fourth round, I feel like to be that solid, steady presence, I know what I'm going to get out of Kenny Galladay. I'm going to take him here, and then I'll swing for the fences here with some of my later picks.
All right. So swinging for the fences. That'll go back to the one turn right now. And you got another quarterback, Dak Prescott, off the board, and Adam Thielen. So it's now back to you yet again.
Yeah, so I've got some wide receivers again that I want to invest in, and some interesting names here at the top. Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton, Brandon Ayuk, Cooper Kupp, Juju, and Robert Woods are all, you know, on the board and available for me to pick. And I'm considering all of them, right? Brandon Ayuk comes with some immense upside, especially now that we know that, you know, they're going to be taking a top tier quarterback there at number 3 overall after the trade. Deontay Johnson, you know that he's going to soak up targets if it's Big Ben. But again, this is dynasty. You're playing within that 2 to 3 year window. Big Ben might be only back for one more year. So you know what? I'm going to go with that upside there. I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk. And I think that no matter who they take at quarterback at number 3 overall, has the potential to just see Brandon Ayuk's stock just increase. So I'm going to take Brandon Ayuk here as my wide receiver 2 at the start of the 5th round.
All right, there you have it. So, look, I'm a big fan of Ayuk, and obviously last year was a tremendous finish to the season for him. He finished so strong, and we'll see who the quarterback is. We still got some time to figure that out. Some big quarterbacks still on the board, Murray, Allen, Lamar Jackson. I've only got the two running backs and the two wide receivers so far to start, so kind of would like to take another running back. So maybe Chris Carson's like the perfect guy to kind of patchwork a year for ETN to kind of get up to speed in the NFL. That's kind of what it feels like to me, so I don't love this pick. But you know what? Once again, they made a financial commitment to him, so I'm going to make a commitment as well. So give me Chris Carson here. Not a sexy pick. I don't love this, but I think I need to do it from a depth standpoint because, as Yates was saying earlier, running back kind of falls off a cliff here at this moment. So otherwise, you're going to be looking at a lot of backup guys or guys that are in mixed backfields, which are tough because you don't know how that running back by committee is going to go. That then puts Cortland Sutton and Deontay Johnson going back to back before Tags is up with his next pick now.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at this right now. I'm trying to figure out. So did Ja'Marr Chase come off the board?
He did. Yeah, he came off the board at the end of three. Yeah.
Okay, so he did. That makes some sense then. I wanted to make sure because I know sometimes like rookies are a little bit delayed in terms of their rise up the draft board. So I was trying to figure that out. Let's see what running backs are available. It's not pretty at running back. As Yates said, it dries up really quick. I'm looking at the top running backs available is Kareem Hunt, Ronald Jones, Melvin Gordon, who might have 1 year left. This is difficult. I feel like I'm reaching at this point to take one of those guys. I think Kareem Hunt's the one I would contemplate. But when you look at wide receiver, I think that there's better value there. Let me go through my wide receiver rankings while navigating the screen. Now, Julio Jones is showing up as 29th in this, where it's like behind some of these guys. I think Julio Jones still has something to offer. Mm-hmm. I think Odell Beckham still has something to offer. I'm actually, you know what? My team is built to win right now.
So says you.
No, it is. It really is. Like, if you look at my roster, it's like Alvin Kamara, Miles Sanders, contributors right now. They're workhorses. Right. Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Julio Jones. Like, that starting five is fantastic. Now, this team, like, again, this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, saying, like, your roster, you have to understand what you have and what you don't in Dynasty. Mm-hmm. I only build for 2 to 3 years out. Like, if you look beyond that, then you're just screwing yourself over.
I mean, I mentioned at the top too, same thing.
I feel really good about this roster so far. Now I must pick where I'm going to go. Now, do I get a little bit younger and take, you know, a blooming wide receiver that could eventually be bigger, or do I go back to running back to fill a void? I don't really
want to. While you think, I'll recap for everybody else, give you some time here, because after you took Julio, Claypool, Williams, Kyler Murray goes next, then Mark Andrews, Juju Smith-Schuster, Josh Allen, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Boyd, Jerry Jeudy, who actually I thought might have been a guy you were considering there, and Odell Beckham. Then Bateman goes, another rookie wide receiver, and Lamar Jackson. So now it's back to you. So some of the premium quarterbacks have gone now, and some of those upside young wide receivers. So, yeah, and you make a good point too, Tags, that obviously, you know, you can see how the draft is unfolding. And if you're a win now team, you go with it. And next year there's another draft, and you could always make up ground for prospects in the rookie drafts.
Absolutely. And that's basically what I'm doing now, is just, I don't want to reach. I feel like my team is built to win. I'm going to stick with that premise, and I'm going to take Robert Woods here. Robert Woods he continually produces. He's not a sexy pick. He's not a guy that's going to rock your world, but I have him as a flex right now. He's a flex player in a PPR format, which is what most dynasty leagues do run. So it just feels like a solid, consistent performer. Now that you add Matthew Stafford into the mix, is there a little bit more upside with Robert Woods? Potentially. But I do believe that we're going to have DeSean Jackson taking away some of that, you know, that production. Cooper Kupp, obviously, but Robert Woods is a flex. I'm pretty happy about it.
Now, I really like my wide receiving core here with Calvin Ridley and Michael Thomas. I feel pretty good about those two number ones. You know, Saquon's risky. You know, ETN is a rookie. And of course, Chris Carson, not the always picture of perfection, but I think I've got enough there. So I'm going to go for a little risk here and a little risk reward, because I'm starting to really buy in the hype. The more and more I see about Kyle Pitts, the more I get excited. And I get very excited about Kyle Pitts, less so about Kyle Yates, but I'm still excited about you, Kyle. I don't want you to feel like you're a lesser Kyle. You're like right, like 1A.
No, in terms of these Kyles. I'll admit I'm definitely a lesser Kyle when it comes to Kyle Pitts.
I mean, maybe in a few areas, maybe in the 40 at least. So I'm gonna take a shot here, because tight end is one of these spots where I think you can make up ground. And although there's some other young tight ends still on here, like Hockenson and Fant, I think Pitts is possibly a transcendent thing that we haven't seen. And I think there's some value on the board, even with Jonnu Smith still. Yes, it's going to tell me a slight reach, but you know what? I just didn't want to take that risk. I've got the three running backs. I've got the two wide receivers. I think most of these wide receivers on the board don't really move the needle in terms of difference maker for me. So I'm going to take the tight end who could potentially be that guy. And even if I have to wait a year, I will. So Yates, that goes to you now. Devontae Smith goes off the board right before my pick. Also did DJ Shark. So Yates, you are now on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going to keep the streak of rookies going here. I'm going to go wide receiver, and I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama, to be my wide receiver three. Now, I talked about with Kenny Golladay, I know what I'm getting, right? With Brandon Ayuk, I'm swinging for the fences a little bit. I'm betting on the quarterback transition and the upside that can come with that. But then Jalen Waddle just has the potential to just be a difference maker. He, you know, we talk about it all the time, like, any fast player that comes out, any fast wide receiver kind of gets comped to Tyreek Hill just naturally.
Right.
If there ever was a player to get comped to Tyreek Hill, it is Jalen Waddle, based on his speed and how he moves on the football field. So here at the 6'11", this is interesting. I don't think that you're, you know, if you're doing a startup right now, I think you can get him here. If you wait until after the NFL draft, you're going to have to spend a third round pick on Jalen Waddle.
Fair enough there. Debo Samuel goes right after Waddle, then Hawkinson. So some of the tight ends starting to run a little bit, as they like to say in the business. So that'll bring up Yates now again in the seventh round with pick number two.
Yeah, you know, I've got now three running backs. I've got three wide receivers. So I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, and Joe Mixon, and then Kenny Galladay, Brandon Ayuk, and Jalen Waddle. And now I'm just kind of looking to how can I set up my team moving into the later rounds, right? Like I'm looking at the quarterbacks on the board. I'm fine with a lot of those guys. I don't need to spend right here. I can wait until they come back on the turn. Tight end, I'm fine waiting. You know, Kyle Pitts, if he was still here, I probably would have thought about that. But looking at, you know, the players that are still available at running back, Kareem Hunt, you know, like say what you want about Kareem Hunt, but for him to be my RB4, and does come with that upside that, again, if Nick Chubb, something happens to Nick Chubb, he's a locked-in starter. This offense is going to be clicking again next season. To be my RB4 here as a depth piece, Kareem Hunt in the start of the seventh round, I feel like that's too good to pass up.
You know, it's funny, too, because we're in the seventh round, and this is a spot where you start to talk about the quarterbacks, but the uncertainty of the Deshaun Watson situation really does throw a wrench in a little bit for me with quarterbacks, because that's another elite talent at quarterback that now we're kind of unsure about where that stock is, and it's something to really take in. And the running backs on the board right now, not great, not in my world. Ronald Jones, Gordon Drake, Damian Harris looked really good at times, but I'm always unsure. Fournette's in that backfield along with Ronald Jones, and I'm just uncertain about all that, as good as Fournette looked towards the end there. So I'm actually going to pivot, and I'm actually going to draft a quarterback here. And I don't always say this a lot, but I think I was absolutely wrong on Justin Herbert. And I think a lot of us were. And I was very impressed with Herbert last year. I did not expect him to be as good as he was that quickly. And then to me, what really stood out is how good he was towards the end of the year when he had the injuries to Keenan Allen, when he had the injuries to Mike Williams. And he was still, like, I think it was in that Raiders game on that primetime game. The guy was still slinging the ball all over the place and looked terrific. So I'm going to go here with Herbert and take the young quarterback that I saw have a brilliant first season. Joe Burrow was also in this conversation to me, but I feel like if I wait, probably both of those guys are not going to make it back. So I'm going to go and take one. I just don't feel good with tags lurking around that Joe Burrow somehow makes it back to me with two picks. So Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson go back to back here. Watson at four in this round and Fuller at five. That puts Kalen Ballage on the clock again.
Yeah, I've been waiting on running back, waiting, and it's like I still have a chance to get a starting running back, and Ronald Jones is hated by many, I get it, and I'm not a big fan of having a Bruce Arians running back right now, but it says a lot when they let Leonard Fournette sit out there for a long time. It was basically just waiting to see, hey, go see if you can get more money, dude, because we'll give you whatever. They didn't give him a whole lot. So having competition of Leonard Fournette doesn't really scare me too much, but again, this is my number three running back. I just don't feel great about the other guys that I have available here. Like Melvin Gordon, he's still facing a potential suspension for a DUI he got last year. He's only got 1 year left in his contract. They signed Mike Boone. They might draft a running back at some point here. Miles Gaskin could lose that starting job. If they draft a running back, Miami has plenty of picks to do that. So there's a lot of question marks I have around those other running backs, which is ultimately why I went with Ronald Jones.
There you go. So Ronald Jones, the pick there. And also, you know, it's funny because one of the guys I had on my queue here just went right before you on the way back, which is Corey Davis, which I was hoping he might slip a little longer, but he did not, unfortunately, in this draft. Just kind of recap real quick and take you through. After that pick of Ronald Jones, Chenault, Jamar Jefferson, A.J. Dillon, Russell Wilson, Marquise Brown. Then at the turn, Robbie Anderson, Kenyon Drake swinging back. Going back here for the eighth round after Kenyon Drake, then it's Noah Fant, Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, Rondell Moore, and Corey Davis, which I got to ask you, if Davis was on the board, would you have taken him next?
I don't know. I have four wide receivers that I feel really good about. You know, I'm not opposed to taking him around that area, but it's...
I can understand.
I just don't need one right there.
You're in a good spot there. Yeah. Right, exactly. So what do you need and where are you going?
All right. Well, I don't have a tight end yet, and I'm looking at it, and the tight ends are about to fall into like streaming territory for me. But Dallas Goedert is the clear one that stands out, is someone that he's basically the number one wide receiver on his team right now. They talked about trading Zach Ertz, and I still think that's a potential, like a possibility. They might draft a wide receiver, but again, Dallas Goedert plays a different role. So I'm going to take Dallas Goedert here and solidify my tight end position.
All right, I'd like to take a quick moment to recognize a sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. Pristine Auction has all of the cool stuff all the sports memorabilia you could possibly imagine for your man cave or your woman cave. So if you're a big fan, you should be a big fan of PristineAuction.com. Authenticity is so important, and they guarantee authenticity of all the items with authentication from only the most trusted sources. There are things that are very affordable, too, so you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to have fun at Pristine Auction, but you can if you want to. So go to PristineAuction.com today and sign up using the code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's all one word, FANTASYPROS. In that registration code field, it's located right at the top of the registration page. It's free to sign up, and the code provides listeners a $5 credit. That's right, $5 just for signing up. So sign up today at PristineAuction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com. So Jalen Reagor, Jarvis Landry, Michael Pittman, those are the guys. Jalen Reagor is the guy that it says to pick, but I don't know. I can't get there. As much as I would like to, and it sounds good theoretically, and Hurts is going to come in there, and everything's going to be great. You know, Landry is kind of boring, but at the same time, productive. And it seems like that would be a decent way to go. Or I could go for a little upside here with Pittman. It is tough here. We're kind of looking at kind of the same guys, and I don't know any of them really move the needle. So in this sense, because of my uncertainty on this particular roster, where I do have questions with Saquon, questions with the rookie, you know, running back's a little questionable, I want to make sure I shore up and get some definitive points. So I'm going to go boring here and go with Jarvis Landry, just some possession wide receiver here, and see how that goes. So Pearly Yates, you are now officially on the clock.
All right, so I'm looking at, I still don't have a quarterback or tight end, but I'm also looking at a running back here that I'm very high on, but I think that I can wait for the turn to come back around on him. I'm looking at some of the wide receivers there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to balance out my roster here and then get this other guy with my next pick. I'm going to take Michael Pittman Jr. here, Indianapolis wide receiver. I think that for Pittman,
I was back and forth on him, buddy. I really was.
Yeah,
really
obviously, I was a big fan last year of him coming out. Really, really enjoy his tape. And he showed me that he can contribute in a big way. If we do see that, you know, Frank Reich is going to take Carson Wentz and kind of fix him, and this offense can get back on track. Well, T.Y. Hilton's on a one-year deal. Paris Campbell hasn't been able to stay healthy. Do they add another wide receiver in the draft? Possibly, but Pittman's the wide receiver one on his team, and you're not going to find that, you know, moving forward here from the ninth round on. So take Pittman here as my wide receiver four. Really, really balance up my roster. I like how I'm doing this so far. I'm looking at the 902, though. Chase Edmonds and then Curtis Samuel went off. I was considering Curtis Samuel there, but he went off the board, so I'm going to take my quarterback here and a guy who, yes, he's coming off the injury. You know, I think that there's reason to be skeptical that he is going to be ready to start the season, but yet I can grab another quarterback here later on who will be ready to start the season. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow here. I was obviously just a huge, huge fan of his coming out last year, and so I'm going to take him here. In my 1QB format, I like to rotate in guys, but I do want those guys that can be the potential league winner. And based on everything that I'm seeing with Cincinnati and everything that I saw with Joe Burrow last year, I think that he can be that guy. So Joe Burrow to be my QB here, get him here at the start of the ninth round.
I think that's a steal in the ninth round. I really do at the top there. I mean, if not for the injury, he probably would have gone at least a round and a half earlier if he had finished out the year. I know Tags is a big fan of Burrow also, and I think we saw a lot of good flashes last year. For me now, it's coming back, and I have a choice here. I can go with a little bit more running back depth here and take Damian Harris, but I don't like the touchdown upside, or I can try to roll the dice and believe in playoff Lenny. And you know what? I'm going to try here and see what I get, because look, if things do not go well for me at running back, I want to have some kind of upside. And although Fournette has downside, he also has upside too. And I know Ronald Jones is still there, but I'm going to take my shot off that trend. He did come back. It says value pick. I got the thumbs up. Thank you, Draft Wizard. I appreciate that. Sometimes I need a little bit of verification there a little bit. It's nice to have that. So, Kalen Ballage, you're up next after Jalen Reagor and Zach Moss go off the board at 9-4 and 9-5.
Okay, well, the hate's gone far enough. I passed on Melvin Gordon two rounds ago, and
yeah,
he's still...
I was about to say, someone get Melvin Gordon off the board.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Moss shouldn't be going before him. I like Moss as a play, but you have a starter. Like, there's no question about it. Melvin Gordon's a starter for the Broncos. No more Phillip Lindsay. Mike Boone is not going to steal that job. They have other holes to fill. They're not going to draft a running back with a lot of equity. I can't assume they would anyways, but what do I know? All right. So my roster, again, I'm in that team that's built to win now. So it's like, it's really tough. And there's a quarterback sitting on the board that basically, you know, even though he's aging, there's still a good 3 years left in him. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And again, I don't anticipate him having another year like he did in 2020. I don't. I anticipate him being a mid to low end QB1. And that is perfectly fine as someone you could start every single week, feel confident about it. Waiting to the 10th round, I am extremely happy to get Rodgers here.
Oh, as you should be. I mean, look, and you know what? You're continuing with the theme, which is your roster looks good right now. You're going to play to win. If things don't work out, you start selling off pieces for draft picks and you rebuild. I mean, that's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to win year one in Dynasty. By the way, how many Dynasty leagues last 5-6 years? Not all of them. Sometimes they fall apart. People drop out, you know, so keep that in mind when you're doing this. So it's a little different. And obviously between baseball and football, very different too, because, you know, the minor league guys that you have in baseball, you could be waiting and spinning your wheels forever. A little less so in the NFL. Yates, I'm in a tough spot here, I feel like, because I don't really love all this talent. I mean, Shepard is appealing.
I really don't love all this talent.
I almost want to lean on you.
We still got another 16 rounds to go.
Look, and not in terms of the names and recognition. I'm just talking about, like, you know, we're not even barely just 10 rounds in, and I'm just kind of looking at it. It's like, is this what you've discovered too in your dynasty drafts, that you're just like 10 rounds in? This is where now the talent not only just drops off, but also you're just kind of taking shots on guys. Do you feel like it's round 10 where that happens? Because it feels like this is the round where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. You start to see, again, I mentioned it with the board drying up. You start to get to the point now where you got to be savvy. You got to know who you're looking at. And but you've got 10 seconds left on the clock here, Joe. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to go take a shot at Gabriel Davis. I like what I saw at the end of last year for him. I know it's crowded, but you know what? I like the player. I like how much they're throwing the football there. So we'll see how that goes over with the Buffalo Bills. That puts you on the clock there, Yates.
Yeah, so I've got at my running back position, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt. And then again, looking down the board, you just go, man, some of these guys I just do not want anywhere near my dynasty roster. But there is a rookie coming in that I do want on my dynasty rosters. That's Michael Carter. Now, didn't necessarily run super well at the UNC Pro Day, but that's really not his game. You know, he's more burst, has more burst and is shifty and has great acceleration and can be an excellent receiving back out of the backfield. So I'm going to take the shot here that he kind of just falls into a great spot for fantasy football. Again, this is one of the risks with doing this before the NFL draft. You don't know where these guys are going to end up. But Michael Carter to be my RB5, I'm going to start, you know, I've got the solid foundation. I've got these locked in guys that I feel comfortable with. Now I'm going to start to take some shots here as we move into the bench portion of the draft. So Michael Carter, running back out of North Carolina here at the 10-11.
All right. And then let's see here. Where did Lawrence go? Lawrence went in round, just trying to keep track of that for everybody, to round 9. So is that, in your opinion, Yates, appropriate for drafting Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty, or do you think not aggressive enough? Just curious about your take on that.
Yeah, I think he will go earlier than that once we get the NFL draft, once that's locked in, and once we start to see the rankings just adjust and ADP
it's not
and
like
all
we
that.
Don't know where he's going to go yet.
Right. But yeah, I do think that we're going to see him start to move up. That, you know, it's kind of fair for a one QB. You don't necessarily want to have Trevor Lawrence unless you are going with a productive struggle approach. And we talk about that on the Dynasty podcast. Unless you're going with that approach, you don't want Trevor Lawrence to be your QB one, right? Your number one QB on your roster. You might want him as your number two. So, but I'm back up here at the 11:02. We saw Sterling Shepard and Daryl Henderson go, two guys that I was not going to be taking. So I'm fine with that. I'm looking at wide receiver here again, just building out a balanced approach. I'm going to keep waiting on tight end here. And I'm going to go with Darnell Mooney. Mooney coming out last year, fifth round pick out of Tulane, just showed out in a terrible offense last season. Now, I don't think that Andy Dalton is the answer, but yet Mooney here to be my wide receiver 5 or 6, I can't keep track at this point, is going to be just a guy that, you know, he's a solid bench spot, but yet has some upside here going into his second year. He showed me that, you know, he's a talented player, has some upside. I'll go Darnell Mooney here at the 11:02.
Hey, that was the guy on my queue next. So now I'm going to throw the dice on Antonio Brown here. Once again, not sure where, not sure how. Incredibly risky pick, but we're in round 11, so who cares? So I'm going to go take a shot at Antonio Brown, and maybe he's back there with the boys, maybe somewhere else, who knows? But you know what? The talent is too good for me to pass up on. It says I got a reach alert. It gave me this face, which is okay. That is an emoji that I'm used to seeing from the Draft Wizard, but I'm willing to take that shot. So after that, we got David Johnson, Jeffrey Wilson Jr., who is also on my brain there, but again, you know, I'm going to take some upside there with the rest of the wide receivers and build that out a little bit. I feel pretty good about running backs. So that puts you on the board here, Tags. After Wilson and David Johnson go, where would you go next?
I mean, you ruined it. I have a team that's built to win now. I was Antonio Brown was like, all right, I think we're getting there. I think we're to the point where it's like, I'm full in, I'm all in.
You might as well try, right?
But I am going to take a younger player here. This one, I believe it could be now and future. And I say that because Christian Kirk is someone that many people are forgetting about in Arizona. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, AJ Green's there now. I'm not worried about that. In fact, the arrival of AJ Green actually makes me like him more. And the reason it does is because Larry Fitzgerald likely retired. I don't know. They haven't really talked to him. It seems like he's not even interested right now. He's kind of like, I'm going to play golf and we'll see what happens. But you're going to have DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green on the perimeter, which means that Christian Kirk moves into the slot, which is where he should have been playing the entire time. I've compared him in the draft process. I compared him to Golden Tate. His career path is just like Golden Tate. Started on the perimeter in Seattle, ended up moving into the slot, became a much better player because of that. This is an easy pick for me. Christian Kirk feels like a tremendous value in the 11th round.
And Christian Kirk had a run there last year, Tags, I think people forgot about. Remember that? It was about a month there where he was just lights out.
Yeah.
And then it just stopped. And it stopped when Kyler Murray got sat on, basically. Hurt his arm a little bit, and he couldn't throw the ball downfield quite as much. So there were those moments there where, you know, Kirk had some big catches and some big plays, and then all just kind of silence in the second half. So it'd be interesting to see if he could bounce back there. After Kirk goes Singletary, Hines, a whole lot of running backs, Tariq Cohen, Alexander Mattison, Zamir White, then Hunter Henry and Philip Lindsay at the turn. Sony Michel, Brian Edwards, Darius Slayton, J.D. McKissick, and Keyshawn Vaughn. So Tags, back to you after Kirk. What do you need next?
I am snagging one of my guys. This is my guy. I'm taking him. This is another youth move where, again, I have to start balancing out my roster a little bit. But Paris Campbell, I feel like, is extremely undervalued. He's actually my favorite wide receiver in Indianapolis right now. I think we saw it week one last year of what their plans were for him. Then he gets injured again. But now you have Carson Wentz coming over. And Wentz is traditionally, he always has loved his wide receivers or tight ends over the middle of the field. And those were the plans for Paris Campbell. So with T.Y. Hilton on a 1-year contract, do they start moving these guys around a little bit more? Do they let Campbell play a bigger role in the offense? I do believe they want him to. So Paris Campbell here as my, I think, 6th wide receiver on the roster.
I was a little worried there because I got one of my guys I was waiting on for another round or so. And I was hoping we'd have the same guy there. After you take Paris Campbell, Mike Gesicki, Rashad Penny go off the board there. I'm going to just build some more running back depth here because, I mean, we can never have enough of it, right? And I know there's some guys up higher on the board here, but I'm going to take Mike Davis after a very strong season there and see what happens. I'm sure Atlanta's going to figure out some other guys to bring in and figure it all out. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to take some more depth at running back and just try to get a guy that I saw a lot of last year, and I was pretty impressed. And, you know, I know it's not Joe Brady calling the plays there in Atlanta, and that had a big impact on him. But at the same time, I thought everybody kind of looked up and said, wow, you know, Mike Davis, that's a pretty darn good season for him. And we'll see if the usage kind of follows there in Atlanta. And I think he's got every opportunity potentially to be the guy there. So we'll see what happens. I don't love the pick, but you know what? At this point in round 12, you don't love all your picks. All right, Mike Davis off the board. That puts you up there, Mr. Pearly Yates.
Yeah, so I have not drafted a tight end yet, and I am going to draft my guy here. Apparently, this is the my guy round. I'm going to go Jonnu Smith here at the 12-11. Obviously, this, you know, the situation here in New England, it's not as great after the Hunter Henry signing, but yet I still think that they have a clear plan for him. I still think that they're going to get him the ball. And at this point, there really isn't another clear answer that I want to take over Jonnu here at this point. So I will go Jonnu at the 12-11.
Now, I love that pick there. You know, I think people are freaking out a little, like, not you particularly, but I think some people are really overrating the Hunter Henry thing a little too much. I think Jonnu was their target. And if anything, Henry, yes, they're paying him, but it's also the insurance of if we're going to craft an offense and God forbid something happens to Jonnu, who was hurt last year, then what? You know, is it going to fall off the wayside? We have to redo the entire offense? No, you have to make sure if you're in to this offense that you're going to run around tight ends, that you make sure you have guys like Hunter Henry who run good routes and can catch the ball also. So, and I think it's okay to load up and be different. And the Pats have always done that. They always cater to the offense to the kind of talent they have on it rather than vice versa. After you take Jonnu Smith, Terry goes, then Latavius Murray goes. So it's back to you, Yates.
Yeah, so I am going to double down at tight end here.
No, I hope it's not my guy, because I was going to take a tight end.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab a guy who I think just had this mental perception that he is so much older than he is, but that's Robert Tonyan, age 26. He's only 26 years old, and he is tied to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, incredible just chemistry with Rodgers. Rodgers trusts him. If they don't add another receiving option, or even if they do, Tonyan's still going to be heavily utilized here in this offense. So with the streaming tight end approach, if I've got Janu, I'm not super, super confident in him as a every week starter, at least at this point, I can grab Tonyan here and just throw multiple darts and make sure that I am able to at least play the matchup. So Tonyan here at the 1302 after taking Janu just a couple picks before.
All right, there's two tight ends on the board that I still think are pretty darn good. It's Irv Smith and Logan Thomas. I'm going to go take a shot with Logan Thomas. I really liked what I saw out of him last year, and that was with abysmal quarterback play. Fitzpatrick's there, at least for now, and it backs me up a little bit that if Kyle Pitts does have a learning curve more so than I think, then it's okay. Then I've got Logan Thomas I can plug in there for the first half of the season until things go better. And if Logan Thomas plays very well, that becomes a trade chip in this dynasty format for me, because he's still very young, and that will put him in a potential for two straight years of being very productive as a young tight end. So Logan Thomas for me. Elijah Moore goes next to team four. Team five takes Mecole Hardman, which I'm actually surprised he kind of floated around as long as he did. And that puts Kalen Ballage, no matter what, on the board.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel great about what's happening right now on the board. I'm looking at it and trying to figure out. I'm so pissed about the Robert Tonyan pick. Because you took Janu, and I was like, oh, sweet, he's not taking Tonyan. I'm good. And then it's like, yeah, you started talking. I was like, damn you, Yates. All right. So I'm going to go over to... All right. There's a guy I think that's going to be available at wide receiver, my next pick. So I'm going to grab a running back. I only have four running backs on my roster at this point. We're in the 13th round. I'm going to take Gus Edwards. He's a solid running back. I mean, he's not, he's never going to be an RB1. That's never going to happen. But if you have, like, let's say J.K. Dobbins has a slight injury, a hamstring, whatever, Gus Edwards is a guy that you could plug in as an RB2 plug and play and not even think twice about it. I feel like the other running backs from this territory is just like, you can't say that. You know what I mean? You're not even guaranteed that they're the backup. Baltimore loves Gus Edwards.
And rightfully so. I mean, Gus Edwards has been productive whenever he's been called upon. He had good yards per carry numbers last year. After you made that pick, Josh Kelly goes, Marvin Jones, Le'Veon Bell, Benny Snell, Evan Ingram, that is, Marlon Mack, and Jamal Williams, who I actually had my eye on too, is that same kind of what if, Jamal Williams is still a lot younger than people realize, kind of going back to that Tonyan comment that Yates made. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, people don't realize this guy's only like 25 years old. Jalen Hurts finally goes in the round 14, T.Y. Hilton, Irv Smith, Kerryon Johnson, and Tua. Then it's up to you again here for your pick.
It's Nelson Agholor for me here. A lot of people want to say Nelson Agholor sucks and this and that, but he played extremely well for the Raiders last year. And basically, if you look outside the Doug Peterson offense, you're like, all right, Nelson Agholor had a pretty good year to the point where New England was willing to pay him. Now, granted, the quarterback play in New England right now is not great, but can that change? Absolutely. I don't even know if it's, I think it's possible that they trade for Jimmy G and make it a competition between Cam and him. There's definitely possibilities of that. Nelson Agholor having, I think it was a 3-year deal he signed with the Patriots. He's going to have a shot to be the number one if they don't draft one in the first round. Now, if they draft, someone like Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith falls to them, that could change things. But as of right now, Nelson Agholor is really the number one wide receiver in New England.
Yeah, look, I think it's a tremendous value there. Why not take a shot and see if he gets anything close to last year's numbers in the 14th round you just took him? Why not? And especially just to cover your buys at the very least, or play some good matchups. Brevin Jordan, then Jacoby Myers go after that. I'm going to take one of my guys here too, because I love what I saw out of this guy in the playoffs. Everybody's been buzzing about him. Sean McVay loves him. The coaching staff loves him. And yes, I know there's a lot of other pieces there. Akers is there. I understand that Woods is there. I get Cooper Kupp's there. But Van Jefferson to me is a guy that has all kinds of upside. So this might be a pick more for dynasty moving forward, maybe a year or two, as the cap continues to be a problem for the Rams. And I think it's going to be, you might see Cooper Kupp get moved on from or somebody else. And there's always injuries that could open up playing time. And once again, like Mike was saying before, if you get a guy that, you know, gets hurt ahead, like, you know, we talked about Baltimore. Well, they love to run the football, so Gus Edwards can be that guy. Well, you know what? Van Jefferson could be that guy that steps in if there's an injury to Woods or Cooper Kupp, and I think be very productive in that role. Yates, you're on the clock, 14-11.
Real quick, Van Jefferson's a fantastic – I'm so mad that DeSean Jackson signed there because Van Jefferson was going to be like a sleeper pick of mine.
You know what, man? I'm not letting the DeSean Jackson signing scare me off. I'm really not. He's so old. I just can't get my mind around him playing. He is. He's old and he's old. It's, you know, his 2 year deal is like his, like the 2 year plan.
I say about
like,
you
just
two.
Don't die. Right. Yeah. You know? All right. So Van Jefferson goes, and you know what? Mike Tags makes a great point there. Of course there's an opportunity there where DeSean Jackson plays too. They made the investment, but Yates, you're on the clock here.
Yeah, I actually just made the pick, and it's given me that it was a little bit of a reach, but I really don't care because I'm looking at adding some youth here to my bench, right? I want to take these multiple dart throws and get these guys at a discount while I can, because Kylan Hill out of Mississippi State is a running back who Ray and I just finished talking about on our final running back evaluations shows over on the at the Fantasy Pros Dynasty football podcast. And I'm a big fan, especially of him as a receiver and what he can bring in that aspect as a change of pace. And, you know, he's really solid in pass protection too, showed out at the Senior Bowl. So end of the 14th round here to be my RB, who cares, is a really good value. And then I'm going to go
RB, who cares.
And then I'm going to go back to the wide receiver position here and continue to just balance out this roster. I'm going to go with a USC wide receiver who reminded me a lot when I put on his tape of another former USC wide receiver in Robert Woods. I'm going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown. Of course, the younger brother of Equanimeous St. Brown coming out. Reminded me a lot of Robert Woods, and it was just hilarious. They're within an inch and a pound of each other, and then they both ran identical 4.51 40-yard dashes. So I see Amon-Ra taking and occupying that same kind of role that Robert Woods fills here for the Los Angeles Rams as they get him the ball in creative ways. I think that he is going to have a very, very long and productive NFL career. So here at the 15th round, I really like that value.
By the way, before Yates made his pick, Cole Kmet and John Brown going back to back. That's some interesting value at 14 and 15. Cole Kmet lasted pretty long. Look, I know John Brown's always an injury risk, but there's some upside there. And the games he's playing, you know, how he fits into Vegas is going to be fascinating to see, because you could look at Aguilar season and say, well, why can't Brown do that if he could stay on the field? Now it is up to me again, and I'm at BPA range right here. That's all I'm trying to do. And every time this guy was called upon last year, he was good. And you know what? He's got a guy playing ahead of him in Julio Jones that I don't know how much longer he's going to be there. So Russell Gage for me, you know, in the 16 games he played, 72 catches for 786 and 5 touchdowns. I think at this point in the draft, a player that showed you that in limited time is somebody worth investing in. So in the 15th round, I'm going to go there. It says a little bit of a reach. Again, I'm okay with that. He gave me this emoji, but you know, that's okay. I can live with it and we'll move on. KJ Hamler, another player I was considering, goes off the board next, right after Austin Hooper. That puts Mr. Balazs on the clock. Tags, where are you going?
All right, I'm going to go Hayden Hurst here. I'm going to grab another tight end because obviously, you know, you can't just have one tight end on your roster. Dallas Goedert and Hayden Hurst. I feel like both of them can be every week starters potentially. Hayden Hurst really up and down in his first season with Atlanta, but I think that part of it was injury because he was dealing with injuries throughout the season. Part of it was that he didn't have an offseason, didn't get a chance to build any chemistry with Matt Ryan. So another year in that offense, Arthur Smith coming over. I feel like Atlanta, it's a place where he can thrive if they don't add a big name. Like if they don't add Kyle Pitts, then Hayden Hurst is going to be drafted. He should be drafted as a top 10 tight end this year. So I definitely like him. And then my next pick, I'm going to grab somebody because I know my opponent here. I know Kyle Yates likes this particular wide receiver, and so do I. Dwayne Eskridge, rookie wide receiver. He's depending on where he goes. Like there's some DeSean Jackson qualities to his game. His release at the line of scrimmage, like just because he's a fast guy, most people think that, you know, he's going to struggle with press coverage. No, his release is fantastic. He can go up and get the ball. Like, I think that he's one of those guys in the draft process. I remember Yates, we were talking about him and it's like, we both like him a lot. I have him as a top 6 wide receiver in this class. Now, obviously he's not going to fit into every role that you would want for every single team, but taking him this late, it feels like a decent flyer.
All right. I'm contemplating DJ Dallas here just because I have Chris Carson already, and I guess that would be a smart potential thing to do. But then again, I don't always do the smart thing. I want to win. So this is kind of tricky here because I think there's some players on the board here that still have a little bit of upside. Certainly some quarterbacks as well, if you want to back up that quarterback. And sometimes quarterbacks can become useful trade chips also when you have injuries or you have a team that has an aging quarterback and they want to try to get a little younger. That being said, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go with Alan Lazard. Again, it's kind of a safe pick here. Some moments that were very good. He had some injuries last year, too, that he dealt with. Yes, it's a slight reach. And this time it's a different emoji. It's kind of the crooked face emoji, which is like, gee, it's almost like Debbie Downer. So I don't think Alan Lazard is that much of a Debbie Downer. So after Dags took Eskridge, then P. Ryan went, then Zach Ertz. So I took Lazard. That is up to you now, Mr. Yates.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a quarterback here. I mentioned with Joe Burrow as my QB1. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the 2021 season, so I'm going to grab a proven veteran here who I still think can play for another 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. Atlanta just pushed his signing bonus into the next couple of seasons. With Arthur Smith coming over, he's still got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. Let's see who they add at running back. You know, I think that this offense is still going to continue to click. So I think that Matt Ryan here, I can cycle him in and out with Joe Burrow, and then, you know, I'll take another dart throw here later on. Just in a one QB format, I like to have around three or four starting quarterbacks that I can rotate in. And so, yeah, I'll start building that out there. So Matt Ryan to pair with Joe Burrow.
All right. And Evans goes right after, and Kirk Cousins, another veteran quarterback. So you're back on the board for another pick, Yates.
Yeah, I'm looking at the overall board here. I've got some interesting rookies that I could look at. You know, man, Tags really screwed me over there with that Dwayne Eskridge
pick.
Did not
like the Eskridge selection by Tags.
I did not like that. Yeah. Looking at running back too, it's getting gross here, fellas. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lean into just a guy who I really, really liked coming out last year. Showed me that he can contribute in the NFL when he gets the opportunity. We don't know if Miami is going to add another running back. I'm going to take Savon Ahmed here, and we'll see if he can form a committee approach there with Myles Gaskin, or if they go into it and say it's a open competition. Let's see if Savon Ahmed here can win this job again. The 17th round. It's hard to fault that.
It's an interesting selection, no doubt about that. Just in the off chance, Herbert isn't everything that I think he is. I'm going to take a shot on the reclamation project of Carson Wentz. I want to see what happens with these.
You're the
with
worst.
Frank Reich and a better offensive line. I want to see just if he can get back to being that conversation of, well, this guy's an MVP caliber talent. If so, he becomes a great trade chip, or maybe Herbert does too, because he's still not that old. Now, am I the worst because you think it's a terrible pick, or because you're mad that I did it?
Because I'm mad you did it. Stop it.
Ah, good. Now I feel really good about that pick. I just want to put that out there. Derek Carr goes next. Cole Beasley after that. So there you go. I got to stick the knife in for Tags a little bit. That's always a good time. Back to you, Mr. Pelage. What do you want to do now? You could always take Jared Goff. I'm just saying, he's still out there.
I'm going to take a home run pick here, potential home run pick. Kadarius Toney, people are talking about him as a first round pick. I don't think he's a first round pick, but it does. But that what I'm saying is, like, you have to take draft equity into consideration when you're drafting players. And if we're projecting Toney, I think the latest he goes is a second round. Based on what we're hearing, some people saying first round, which I don't get. But if we're hearing first round, that means that he's probably going to be gone by the second round. So he's going to have chances to do things in an offense, regardless if he's good or not. So I just feel like it's one of those picks on my bench because I have starters now. I don't need this guy to produce right now. It's basically just see if I have anything. And he's an easy one to cut bait with if he's not anything.
All right. So it's back to you again. Some of the names off the board: Anthony Miller, Duke Johnson, N'Keal Harry, Jordan Howard, AJ Green. Boston Scott actually lasted longer than I thought, too. Actually, I thought there might be a part of you that kind of wanted to back up the Miles Sanders thing a little bit. But then again, in Dynasty, it's like, how exciting are handcuffs, really? So back to you again, Tags, for your next pick.
All right. So I am going to go with this one's really tough. I'm going to grab Trey Lance.
No.
I also thought about that, too, but I went with Wentz instead. Just for the safer pick. Why Trey Lance here?
Just to piss off Yates.
Ah, good enough answer.
No, in reality, because I had Carson Wentz queued up, and I, like, if you're watching on YouTube, you can actually see my screen as I'm doing this, and Carson Wentz was the guy that I was going to draft, and I don't like Daniel Jones at all. And then it was between, like, it's like Zach Wilson. I don't think Zach Wilson's probably going to be as good as a fantasy quarterback as Trey Lance potentially can be. And again, I'm not using him right now. Aaron Rodgers is my starter, so I'll take Lance.
All right, that'll put me on the board here. Some tough decisions to be made, that's for sure. Once again, this is the towards the end here where we start to really gonna hurt a little bit. And obviously this is where I feel like I'm afraid that Yates's knowledge of the board and all the rookies is going to come back and haunt us later on. The wide receivers out there, guys like James Washington and Emmanuel Sanders. Once again, I'm not trying to go for old guys like Sanders or worry too much. I really liked what I saw out of Tyler Johnson in big spots. And when Tom Brady recognizes you in that sense and says, you know what, you're good enough to make some big plays in big moments, I'm just going to take a flyer here and see what happens. Again, this is more of a long-term play, kind of like Jefferson, which is, yes, I kind of have an idea of what the Bucs look like this year, but what do they look like in 2022? And I wonder if Tyler Johnson grows into a role. And look, we've seen the chronic hamstring issues with Mike Evans and some issues there as well. So I want to see if Tyler Johnson maybe has some growth and some upside since he's already a year into the league. That puts Yates on the clock for another pick.
Tags, you're the freaking worst. I thought I could wait like two more rounds on Trey Lance. That was the guy when I was talking about with my selection of Matt Ryan and taking another dart throw. I was going to grab Trey Lance and call it good. Oh, that sucks. Okay, so I am going to, looking at the running back board, again, it's gross from here on out. Like, I don't want any of these guys necessarily at this point. So I'm going to grab one more running back here, and then I'm going to call it good. And then I'm just going to stack wide receiver and hit quarterback here, you know, to end out the draft. So I'm going to go with a guy who Denver brought in. They let go of Philip Lindsay. I'm going to go with Mike Boone here at this point. They paid him at least a decent contract. He can be that change of pace guy who fits the scheme a little bit more than what Philip Lindsay was able to do. So I'm going to go Mike Boone here at the back end of the 18th round.
All right. And it's back to you again after Boone. James Washington goes off the board. And then Justin Jackson right after. So Yates, you're back up on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a veteran who I was telling people to buy before free agency, and that's Keelan Cole, a wide receiver who, when he's gotten the opportunity in Jacksonville previously, he's impressed me. And so he signs a one-year deal here, $5 million with the New York Jets. And I think that he is going to be that potential Jamison Crowder replacement. If they do move on from Crowder because of how much his cap hit is this upcoming season, they can save a ton of money and just insert Keelan Cole there into the slot. And he has just proven that he can win on the outside or the inside. So again, here, 19th round here to be a depth wide receiver. Keelan Cole, I'm a big, big fan of. I'll back it up here.
Speaking of depth, this is a couple rounds ago, I was contemplating DJ Dallas and he's still there. So now I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it because DJ Dallas is still there. I have Chris Carson. I got to make sure that I'm not worried about the waiver wire, because in dynasty leagues this deep, it's going to be a problem to find any replacement value. So this is where you have to start considering these things. You get into 18, 19, 20, like how much do you want to look at the future and how much do you want to back up what you have already? I've done a little of the looking to the future there with picks like Tyler Johnson, picks with Russell Gage and Van Jefferson. Now I'm going to look to the right now and the insurance policies. So Mark Ingram goes after that. Kiki Cutie after that. Kalen Ballage, Tags, you're up.
All right. So I'm looking at the pick predictor, which is one of the cool things on here. It's basically telling me that Tevin Coleman, there's a 58% chance that he's picked. And then OJ Howard, there's a 41% chance that he's picked. I have them both queued up, and I never thought I would be drafting Tevin Coleman, but we're now deep into this draft, and he's technically a starting running back right now. So if the Jets really don't take anybody of significance, and he knows the offense too, and I think that's part of the reason they signed them there in New York. So with a rookie quarterback, I assume that they're going to be running the ball quite a bit. So I will take Tevin Coleman since he's the one that has the better chance of being drafted before it comes back to me.
All right. And it loops back around to you, Tags. What are you doing for your next pick?
And I'm going
to
draft OJ Howard here. OJ Howard is a guy, you know,
I knew it.
He was a guy that it was just, you know, uber talented. And I think that we were going to see it coming out last year, because he was actually outproducing Gronk before he got hurt. And then all of a sudden it's like we saw like Mike Evans, you know, it took him some time to develop some chemistry with Tom Brady. And then when it finally happened, it's like things started going, you know, like exploding for Mike Evans. I think we would have seen the same thing with OJ Howard. Rob Gronkowski, another year older, they have him under contract because Howard's coming off an Achilles injury. But if he's okay, then I like getting him here.
All right, I'm going to take a flyer on Tre'Quan Smith, see what happens here with him. Emmanuel Sanders gone. Jared Cook gone. Drew Brees also gone. Not great. But Tre'Quan Smith, why not? I know he's been floating around for a while, but he's still only 25 years old. So I'm going to take a flyer on him, see what comes out. Yates, what comes out for you when you're looking at the next pick?
I'm going to go tight end here, but I'm going to interject really quick just to say we got a news alert saying that Justin Fields was clocked at a 4.44 in the 40-yard dash he ran at Ohio State's Pro Day. That is just absurd.
Not bad.
So I'm going to go with a tight end here who I just finished writing up for our rookie profiles that are coming out over at fantasypros.com, which I highly suggest that you check out. I go really in-depth with a lot of my scouting notes here with these guys. Pat Freiermuth is a tight end out of Penn State, who I think that if we didn't have Kyle Pitts in this class, we'd be talking about as the consensus tight end one. So I want multiple dart throws here. I've got, Jonnu Smith. I've got Robert Tonyan. Well, I'm going to double down here and get, or triple down, and I'm going to take Pat Freiermuth here at the 2011.
I don't know why necessarily Malcolm Brown signed with Miami, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to put him on my team and see what's going on.
No, you're not. I'm going to find out. Because I've got to go first.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. You've got another pick there.
Oh, he's going to take Malcolm Brown.
Yep, here we go. No, I'm not taking Malcolm Brown.
You've already got Ahmed. I figured you might as well just go all in here. Right, Miami. Yeah. I was doing it just to spite you. I was going to open up a spite store off a Miami running back just for you, Yates. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I jumped you.
No, you're good. So I've got in my quarterback room, I've got Joe Burrow. I've got Matt Ryan. I'm going to take the shot here. What happens if, New England, if they did surround Cam Newton with all these receiving weapons and he gets back to at least performing? I'm here in the 21st round, Cam Newton here to be my QB3 with his rushing upside. And if he can get those playmakers who can create easy yardage for him, he can be a viable fantasy option. So Cam Newton here to be my QB3, and I'll take a proven veteran here.
No, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with the upside value there. And if nothing else, like maybe he has a good bye week for you.
Right.
So who knows? I'm going to do my Malcolm Brown pick here just because. I mean, the frustration that is running back. And this is why you almost have to hit it so early. We talked about, these opening running backs too, and having some skepticism there with some of these guys even in the first round. But you almost have to take the risks on the Saquons and the CMCs and the Dalvin Cooks and all these guys, and even Kamara. There's some warts there. You have to kind of do this because as you get later in, it's just not available. You just have to wait till next year's draft for somebody else to pop up. Okay, that goes back to you, Kalen Ballage. So what are you doing here?
I took Quintez Cephas. Currently, pretty quick. I don't even know if he's the wide receiver one for the Lions, but I do believe that he's a player, and I think he suits Jared Goff's skill set better than Tyrell Williams or Breshad Perriman. So Quintez Cephas could be an actual starter this year in terms of like fantasy if Goff can like support him. So I like him this late because they might even take him quarterback. We don't even know. Speaking of quarterbacks, that's where I'm going to go here. I'm going to actually take Zach Wilson. I talked about him with Trey Lance.
Now it's back.
But in the 22nd round to take Zach Wilson, a guy that, is projected to be the number two pick in the league. He has some mobility to his game. Obviously, you're hoping that the offense there in New York changes, starts to turn a corner with a new regime there. And again, I have Aaron Rodgers. So pairing Trey Lance and Zach Wilson with him gives me a chance to see which one of those two kind of pans out. And then, over the next couple of years, then we'll work him in with Rodgers.
I like that. You got two outs there. Smart. Very smart move. And you know what? Because you had Lance, I thought, all right, I'm going to probably get him when he comes back there because he already took another rookie quarterback. But you took two. I like your style there, Tags. I like that. I like what you're doing. All right. I think somebody's got to catch the ball in Tennessee besides A.J. Brown. So I'm going to go with Josh Reynolds here, and maybe he's that guy. They've lost a lot of targets here to free agency. So no Corey Davis, no Jonnu Smith. Let's see if Reynolds can catch a few balls. Again, this is just a depth move. Nothing is super exciting here. That puts you up next on the board, Yates, in round 22, pick number 11.
Yeah, I'm going to go with another quarterback here. Let's say that Jameis Winston does win this battle here, this competition with Taysom Hill, which I think he easily can do. And we've seen that, Jameis Winston can be a locked in top 12, quarterback for fantasy football, and pairing him with Sean Payton. I just want to see what happens here. And I'm talking about him as my QB4. So I would have loved to take a rookie quarterback. This would have been the spot where I would have taken Trey Lance, maybe a round or two before, but I'm going to take a guy who has the same question marks as far as, is he going to be the starter? He has some questions surrounding him, but yet to get him here at the 22-11 to be my QB4. I'll take that
there. All right. So QB4 for Mr. Yates. Collecting quarterbacks is very nice. I like what you're doing here. Then Stevenson and Williams go off the board. It is back to you for another pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a wide receiver here, and I am going to go with Rashard Higgins. That we've seen him be highly productive when he's gotten the opportunity. And what happens if, there is some rumblings, I don't think it's going to happen, but what the rumblings of OBJ being traded, and he's got the chemistry with with Baker Mayfield. So, you know, even if something does happen to OBJ or Jarvis Landry, then I've got a starting wide receiver here at the start of the 23rd round.
All right. I'm going to go with some more wide receiver depth myself. Take Zach Pascal. Pascal's had moments. Again, no one special here, usually. I mean, this is where we're at in the draft, so it's just a matter of if Wentz does have a renaissance, okay, maybe this is one of the wide receivers that he ends up having a good rapport with. We shall find out. After that, we have, Golden Tate go and Eno Benjamin go. That puts you back on the clock, Tex.
All right, I'm going to take another Lions wide receiver that I already talked about, Tyrell Williams. I think he was added there because he's familiar with the offense. It's only a one-year deal for him, but at the same time, 23rd round as a depth wide receiver, Tyrell Williams.
All right, and back to you as it loops back around. Mm-hmm. This is the end game, my friends. We are in the end game now. You can tell from the names going here. Bryce Love goes right before you. Look at that in the 2406. All right, you're up. Where are you going, Tags?
All right, now Yates took Jameis Winston in the 22nd round. I might be getting the actual starter that's worth more in the 24th round with Taysom Hill. Again, when you're digging this deep, and I know some people are like, why would you draft four quarterbacks? Because I have two guys that are legitimately unknown. This is the third guy I'm adding to that mix. But Taysom Hill, when he was a starter, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And does that mean that he's going to be the starter for the Saints? Nope. But again, you have to have guys in your roster that you're going to be willing to cut if they don't work out in order to grab someone off the waiver wire. Because if you're holding on to guys that you believe in, like let's say that you have a Kadarius Toney and you're just like, no, he's not getting playing time, but I think he's going to. He's never a guy that you're going to want to cut. You need guys in your roster that you're going to be willing to just part with if they don't pan out.
All right, I am back up on the clock now. Let's see, what's fun on the board? I could take a third tight end. That's always interesting. You know, I thought Dalton Schultz was pretty good there in some moments before the injuries set in. And any offense that's getting back a quarterback, the caliber of Dak Prescott, I'm all in on. By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed how quick our boy went off the board at wide receiver too, way back in the early going there for CD Lamb. So it's interesting to see in Dynasty just how high that value is for Lamb, as it should be. But I'm going to go with Schultz. Love this offense. They're going to score a ton of points. I'm still skeptical to see how much they can even fix the defense in this draft. So that'll put you up. And you were quick there, Yates. You pulled the trigger with Travis Fulgham very quickly.
Yeah, I'm going to go Travis Fulgham here. You know, at this point, I know my last two picks. So Travis Fulgham, he's the wide, he has the size that is not on this roster right now at the wide receiver position. And he showed out last year. I don't really want to read a ton into this dysfunctional offense and what was happening last year. So let's see. With the new coaching staff, does he work his way back into a starting job? So again, at the back end of the 24th round, I'm fine with that. And then I'm going to take a rookie wide receiver here that I want to get on people's radar. That's Jalen Darden, wide receiver out of North Texas. Just a shifty, shifty player. Tons of acceleration and burst. He's so much fun to watch. Go put on some Jalen Darden highlights on YouTube and you'll see why I took him here in the 25th round.
All right, go do it right now. All right, while we're waiting here, as you come back from watching all the Darden highlights, goodness gracious, you know what, I don't know why they did it, but now I want to see, why did the Pats go after Kendrick Bourne so quickly? I like Kendrick Bourne. I liked him when he was at San Francisco. I just thought he wasn't a good fit for what they like to do. So I'm fascinated to see how he possibly fits in with New England. I'm still really concerned that there's anything left in the Cam Newton tank. But now that he's on Yates' team, I'm hoping that maybe he doesn't have anything left in the tank here for this draft. Because I don't know. I mean, he's like, what, your 12th quarterback? How many quarterbacks do you have in this league already, Yates? That's a lot.
I've got four.
You've got four. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've only got three. Hex, how many quarterbacks do you have
four
in this draft? You got four, too, and I feel like I'm out. I guess I'll take a quarterback here, so we all have four when we come back around. All right, Kalen Ballage, you are on the clock. Oh, this is it. This is the last
pick that we'll make in this draft.
That's okay. You know, there's plenty. Tom Brady's on the waiver wire, and so is Jimmy Garoppolo and Sam Darnold. I'll sign one of them to a camp invite.
I'm going to take one of my guys in this draft class. So we didn't have the combine, but we did have the Senior Bowl. We were able to see a lot of Senior Bowl practices. And Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State was someone that basically, you know, people talk about competition and how it matters, and it does. You know, he didn't have a chance to show out, but when he comes to the Senior Bowl and gets to play against some of the best seniors out there, he dominated. Like, he legit was probably one of the best receivers on the field. So taking him here with his final pick, it's like kind of like a wait and see thing. And I just want to say, hey, I want to be the guy that told you about Cade Johnson because he's good.
All right. So that wraps it up. So now it's all about the grades. And I got to tell you, I got a lot of reaches. I mean, you guys didn't talk about how many reach alerts you got or emojis that were good or bad. So I don't exactly know where you sit in. I sit in at a B-, 81 out of 80 with Herbert, Barkley, Carson, Ridley, Michael Thomas, Landry, Kyle Pitts, Leonard Fournette, Etienne, Wentz, Logan Thomas, Gabriel Davis, Brown, Antonio Brown, that is, Alan Lazard, Mike Davis, Van Jefferson, and then blah, blah, blah. Tags, what's your draft grade?
I mean, you said 81 out of 80, so I don't know if anybody could beat that.
81 out of 100, pardon me. Actually, you know what? Yeah, you know what? It was 81 out of 80, now that I think about it. I think that's exactly what it was. So it's an A++. No, it's a B-. I will take it. I did reach a little bit, but I got the guys that I like. I also reached for Kyle Pitts, but I'm at peace with that. So
Yates called me out, so I want to hear Yates's grade.
Oh, okay. Oh,
he called me out.
I got a 74 out of 100, but that is because I took a lot of rookies who were considered reaches, but I love my team.
You guys can make all the excuses you want, because I got a 94 out of 100.
What? Ooh, 94? What?
I built to win, and I did.
True.
And I am succeeding. I am beating you guys. So, I mean, until next, I mean, I know Yates, like, legit. He's going to stew for like the next week, but then he doesn't even realize I'm not even going to be here for like 2 weeks because I'm moving, and he's going to be stewing this entire time. We need to have like a fantasy feud when I come back, because Yates is going to just unleash on me.
Still the reigning champ.
By the way, just to throw this out there too, in terms of scoring and overall points. So it says Kalen Ballage, no matter what, would be the third ranked team. I would be 7 and Pearly Yates would be 11. But Yates, you know, you said you got your guys. And then when it comes to Dynasty, how important is that, you know, that you make sure that you get those? And if you've done the homework and you've listened to, you know, the shows here and the stuff that you're doing, obviously all the great content here at Fantasy Pros, I mean, that really enters into it quite a bit, right? That, you know, like, you know what, get your guys, especially as the draft moves on, and then projections eventually will catch up with the talent, right?
Yeah, and the rookies factor in a large part of this, because we don't have the landing spots. The rankings haven't been updated to reflect those. So taking a lot of, you know, dart throws with these young rookies that we don't know the landing spots yet, but once we do, I have a feeling that my grade would be a 95 out of 100.
I don't know. Can't beat my 81 out of 80. Actually, I got 127 out of 100, so you guys all lose. I'm just, you know what? As much as I agree with everything you're saying for the sake of comedy, I beat you. So I just wanted to put that out there. I beat you. Tags beat you. You finished third. You're 11th overall. So I hope all those rookies pan out. Okay, before we close things out today, I want to thank the sponsors of today's show. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code FantasyPros at checkout. Pages $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com. Fantasy Pros is the promo code to receive your first month free. We want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Also, I want to thank Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's show as well. Again, you can sign up today using the code FantasyPros. That's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And they're also doing that giveaway. Don't forget, go to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved in that Lamar Jackson giveaway. Signed jersey, baby. Get in on it right now before it's too late. We have just hours left here. It's ending at the end of March. That'll do it for us today, but the story of the game goes on. For Tags and Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.